Welcome to the Founders Odyssey podcast, where we interview founders of companies who have bought companies, sold companies, raised money, and have developed new and innovative products for the market at scale. My name is Nathan Bird, and today we have a special guest, Chad Bennett, founder and CEO of Heroic Cybersecurity. To intelligently protect your data, devices, and cloud services from hackers and cyber threats. We're happy that you're here in the studio, Chad, and looking forward to diving into this.
Great. Excited to be here.
So the first question I typically ask founders is, what does entrepreneurship mean to you?
Yeah. I've been an entrepreneur for pretty much almost my entire professional career. And I grew up in a household where my dad was an entrepreneur. And so it's always been a part of my family. So for me, an entrepreneur is someone that takes a risk to go and do what they feel is the best thing for them. The best thing for them, the best thing for their family, and they're builders. Entrepreneurs are builders. They take stuff and they try to build something that helps people. I haven't thought about that question before, so that's a good question. There's so many things about entrepreneurship that I learned from my dad. He had a ceiling fan business in Arizona. Arizona's super hot. I'm from Arizona. And I can just remember going to his shop and sitting in his shop and seeing him talk with customers. And it was a huge risk. We had four kids, and that was one of our main sources of income. And so he took a big risk, and he had some pretty high highs and some pretty low lows, I think, as all entrepreneurs do. But it's that risk part. It's going out on your own and trying to build something.
So you had a family of four, you said. And what do you think is the major difference between you and then also your siblings, number one? And then are you the only entrepreneur of the four, or are the other siblings, did they start to see what your dad did and start build from there?
Yeah, so we're a mixed family. That was me, my dad, my sister, and then my stepmom, my stepbrother, and my stepsister. And so in that family unit, I'd say I'm an entrepreneur, and my stepbrother is trying to become one. He's in that stage, in that process. In fact, just about a year ago, he came to me and said, hey, I'm going to leave my nice, well-paying job to go and on my own. And I was able to help a little bit. Hopefully, I was able to help some. And then my stepsister, she has a nail business. And so, yeah, we've kind of all been in that space a little bit. My sister, she is a professor and a respiratory therapist. So normally wouldn't be considered an entrepreneur, but in the position that she's in as a professor, she's had to build up a program or help build up a program at the university that she's at. And so I think we've all taken pieces. One of the great things about that family, so like I said, it's a mixed family. Growing up, there was seven marriages, six divorces. So it was a very hectic lifestyle, but I loved it. I loved my childhood. It was amazing. I wouldn't change it for anything. I grew up in a very not stable situation, which has been awesome throughout life. So stability for me isn't necessary. I like stability, but I love the change in the world. And that, that fits with entrepreneurship. You have to change. You have to constantly change. You have to constantly rebuild and do new things. And I think my upbringing with the family relationship that we had helped me be a better entrepreneur.
We just were at a meeting this morning. We spoke with Jeff Fenster, founder of Everbowl, and he was talking about pivot ready, just be ready to pivot. And I think every entrepreneur goes through that where it's like Netflix and Blockbuster. They failed to pivot, right? Mm-hmm. And to embrace that unbalanced scenario within your life, it can translate into something of value. Certainly if you're trying to help, help a market or, be an industry leader, which you are. So let's talk a little bit about that first seed of success, but also the failure that you went through in order to get to, you know, kind of where you are today. So let's walk through that process. You know, you're a child, you get into high school, and then maybe into college. So give us a little bit of background there. What is, what, you know, and what established the person you are today?
Yeah. So I'll go back to the start and then quickly get to your question. So first three loves in life. First one was sports. Second was girls. And the third was technology. I fell in love, and I'll talk about the last one. I'll talk a little bit about my family later, but I'll talk about the last one now. So technology, I grew up in love with technology. When I was in second grade, we got Apple IIe computers, fell in love with them. It was at the school, and I'd try as much as possible to stay there to be able to use them. I had this one friend, and he started downloading viruses just to look at the code. And so I would go over there, and we'd collect viruses, and we didn't understand anything that we were looking at. But we just were so excited about whatever it was. And fast forward a bit, I got really good at computing at a young age, in my early teens, 12, 13 years old. And when I was 14 years old, we got the internet for the first time. And, you know, it was just another thing that was so amazing to me. And at that time, when you had the internet, you didn't pay for unlimited internet. You had to pay, and you got like 100 minutes a month or something. And that first month that I had the internet, I went way over that. And my dad came home, and he got the bill, and he was like, hey, if you do this again, I'm getting rid of the internet. And I was like, there's no way. I'm addicted already. It only took a month. And so I knew how to code a little bit. I had learned. And so I was like, you know what? I'm going to figure this out. And I bought this big old Visual Basic 2.0 book. And I taught myself how to code in Visual Basic. And the first program I wrote was a program to get free internet. The company at the time was called Prodigy. It was AOL's main competitor for a bit. And I wrote code to hack basically Prodigy and get free internet. Probably not the most ethical thing to do, but as a 14-year-old kid, I had some very specific needs, and that was the internet to me. And so my background is those three things: football, baseball. I was heavy in sports in high school, and then I'd come home from practicing and I'd get right on the computer and code. Those things usually don't go together. But for me and my family situation, that was it. There was not a lot of parenting going on from 13 up. And so I filled that extra time with technology. Fast forward into my early 20s, I worked at Brigham Young University and helped run one of the largest cybersecurity departments there. And then I helped manage, or I did manage the IT for mechanical engineering for a couple of years. And I thought, all right, now's my time. I always knew that I'd be an entrepreneur. Having grown up with my dad and having seen the freedom that he had, I always wanted that. And I had that mentality, not only my dad, but my grandpa was an entrepreneur. And hearing the stories that he had, I knew that one day I would go on my own. And that happened about 25 years old. I left that and went into real estate. This was about 2005, 2006, and real estate was hot. And if you could fog a mirror, you could get a property. And I started flipping homes, and we were doing really well. I was cashing $250,000 checks. I was buying and selling houses. I was winning all these awards, and life was good. And I thought, you know what? This is awesome. I'm 25, 26 years old, and I hit my goals. I'm nailing them. We're growing as a business. And then 2007, 2008 came along. And to answer your question, that first real failure. So we had a decent sized company. Like I said, we were doing really well on the financial side, and then the market crashed and we got caught holding the bag with a bunch of properties. And, you know, as I talk with people, the 2007, 2008 year, I would say the majority of entrepreneurs that I've met, the majority, over 50%, have an experience around that time, 2007, 2008, where they lost almost everything. And that was my experience. We went from cashing these $250,000 checks, living well, to my house was in foreclosure, my cars were getting repoed, My bank accounts were negative. I had a bunch of debt that I had to get out of, and it was a really difficult time, a really humbling time. We lost almost everything. We didn't lose our house. We did lose some of the cars, but challenging time. And that was the first big failure that I experienced, and it was definitely difficult. It was eye-opening. Some of the things that I learned immediately out of that is when challenges come in business as a leader, you need to take immediate action that is usually more difficult than you think it's going to be. The thing that we could have done right out of the gate is we could have laid off the majority of our workers at that point, and we would have survived, and we would have probably been able to keep the business and keep it going. But because I thought I was just smarter than the market, I could keep everybody until the money ran out, that killed us. So that was the first real difficulty.
Yeah, as entrepreneurs, we always go through ups and downs. So speak to those that are, you know, maybe experiencing that, and then also help them walk through that process of redefining themselves and getting back on, quote unquote, top.
Yeah. I like you how you said redefining themselves, because you talked about how important it is to adjust to business environments, how important it is to pivot. And the same thing goes for yourself. So businesses need to pivot and people need to pivot. You're always in a position of, let's see if we can make ourselves better, rebuild ourselves. And one of the biggest things that I got out of that period, that time period, was understanding that you need to move faster than you think you do. You need to make immediate, significant action. Some of the other stuff that came out of it. So I was married at the time. I still am. I've been married almost 21 years now. It's a beautiful wife, Tammy. We've got 6 kids, ranging from 20 years old down to 4. They are amazing. All of them, love them to death. And so I'm 26, 27 at this time. We've been married now 6 years, which means we've had 3 kids. And one of the biggest things that helped me through that was my wife. How understanding she was, how she was able to stretch a dollar, how she was able to be like, hey, this, I'm going to take over this side. I'm going to let you do what you do, and I'm going to do the rest. And for me, that was one of the biggest helps. She never was down on me for what happened. You know, that was the time that we had the least, we literally were negatives in our bank account. And never once I don't remember it. Maybe we did, but I don't believe we had any major argument over the financial issues at the time. She was like, I guess this is the new normal. So let's work our way through this. So, and that's rare. It's important. One of the biggest things of entrepreneurship, if anybody in college ever comes up to me and says, I want to be an entrepreneur, and it happens all the time. If I ever go speak at a college, if I ever go speak to students or kids, they're always like, if they come up to me and say, I want to be an entrepreneur, the first thing I said is, you better pick your spouse wisely, because that person is going to be the one that helps you along the way. If your spouse is not supportive of the difficulties that come with entrepreneurship, it's going to be a very hard life. And I think that's the number one thing for all those that want to get into entrepreneurship. It's so important that you pick the right spouse.
Yeah.
I think I'm kind of getting off track for what the question was. I can't even remember what the original question was, but
it's okay. So I'll wrap it around here to another one actually that you may enjoy doing, because, you know, we go through trials, but, and many times some people will let that trial define who they are. And then they're not able to actually truly become what they want to, or the potential that is untapped. So my question to you now is, how did you not let that circumstance that you went through define yourself, like define who you were?
Yeah.
And then once again, we're speaking to people out there right now that maybe they're balling or maybe they're not right now, because every entrepreneur goes through highs and lows. So let's speak real quick to how you did not let your circumstance define you, and then now how, and then we'll start to pivot into where you currently are today and how you're managing.
Yeah. So I have a pretty high self-esteem. I won't call it arrogant. I think other people would probably say I'm arrogant, but I call it a healthy self-esteem. And when that happened,
but I also knew that there were things that were out of my control that I just didn't react to properly. And so I didn't lose sight of who I knew I was. Now, it definitely was difficult, and you definitely beat yourself up for certain things like that. But at the end of the day, I knew what my capacity was, and I knew that I could quickly get to a point where we at least were stable again. It took about a year to 2 years to get back into full stability. But it was that knowledge of knowing, hey, I've got so much more left to give. I've got so much more to learn. And I think having that healthy self outlook helped. Obviously, I think my wife not really coming down ever was another thing that was super helpful. But everybody around me, this is the thing. I think, and I'm kind of saying that this is me, but the reality is it's not. It's mostly the people around me that were like, hey, you've got this. You know how to do, you've already shown that you can do these things. Now just go and do it again somewhere else. Go and pick something else, or go and figure your thing out, because you're going to be able to do it. So that outside help is huge. It's important. It's also important during the hard times to get people to get with trusted advisors that can walk you through things, that you can be honest with them. It's really hard being honest about business to other business people, because you want to show them all the amazing stuff. You don't want to tell them the crazy stuff that's going on, right? The difficulties that you're having. And so having trusted partners, trusted advisors that you can be real with, so important, because they'll be able to point your BS out really quickly and be like, this is BS, this is BS, this is BS, stop doing this, focus on this one thing. Whereas in the moment, you're kind of just worried about stuff that might not be important. So that's one of the ways that I think helped me out of that, is helping.
What I got from you is build your network, of course, and we hear that all the time, but it's build your network with the right people. And ultimately, it's who you are is who you're going to attract. So just, you know, continue, and that's why self-development is so important. And you know, you know, and I know through this process of entrepreneurship, constantly developing the person we would like to step into and meet, you know, our future self, which is another good friend, Benjamin Hardy. If you guys haven't checked him out yet, it's a plug for you, Benjamin. So anyway, you know, moving on to the current company that you have, and I'm going to talk about some leadership principles and framework that you currently use as to how you manage your life, but also how you manage a company. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about Heroic. What started that business? What excites you about it? And then also some of the structures and framework inside of that.
Yeah, so Heroic Cybersecurity, also known as Heroic.com, we help people protect against hackers and cyber threats. Our mission isn't to intelligently protect the future, or intelligently protect humanity from the future of cyber threats. So we've got two pieces of the business. We've got a service and an enterprise services side and a software side. And on our software side, we are building the tools that will protect against the AI-based threats that are coming today. So the things that we're starting to see, the intelligent threats that we're starting to say, we're building the framework to actually protect against those. I love cybersecurity. Like I said, technology was one of my first loves in life. And then in my teens is when I got into the cyber side. That's when I started, let's call it, auditing large organizations and finding their vulnerabilities. So this has been, I've been in this space since 14. I'm 43 now. So over 25 years I've been in this space, and I love it. It gets me excited every day. It's such a broad industry, and ultimately we help other organizations protect against these threats. the path of that actually started when that real estate company died in 2008, where I had to look back and say, hey, who do I want to be? Where do I want to go? And my abilities, it always goes back into the technical side. And so we started a company that has over the years merged into Heroic. We've bought a couple companies, we've sold a couple companies, we've merged companies in, and all of those have kind of combined into what is Heroic today. There's another story I haven't told, but we built this company, the prior iteration of Heroic, it was called Box Support. We built it up over to hundreds of employees, and had some, we did amazing. We were winning all these awards, hundreds here in the US and hundreds offshore. And then we had some difficulties that was similar to what happened in 2007, 2008, different reasons for them, but difficulties that made us make some significant changes. And all of that has contributed to what is Heroic today. I think this is important. And I think this is important to say because this is why I started Heroic. I foresee a future where threats target people instead of technology. The way we're moving today with technology is that technology is becoming a part of ourselves. Even though we have it integrated into our body, we use it every day. We use our cell phone every day. It's our memory. It's our storage. It reminds us, it teaches us. Everything we do is focused on technology. Eventually that technology will put inside our bodies. In fact, people do put technology in their bodies, heart pumps, pacemakers. And so we're already starting to integrate technology into our bodies. And eventually over the years, 10, 20, 30 years, we'll be putting that more and more into our bodies. And instead of just attacking computers, instead of just attacking cell phones or whatever, that these threats are going to attack us as people. And I foresaw that day and I said, if we're going to be able to protect against that stuff, we need to start today to build a framework to do that. That is the original reason why I started Heroic. It literally is to protect humanity from these advanced cyber threats. And we're very early in our stage. If I had to give us a, Heroic as a company is six or 7 years old. But if I had to give you, we're still 1 to 2 years old in our journey. And we've got so many more things to do and launch and all that stuff. But at the end of the day, it's to protect people. It's to protect more than just your devices. It's to protect the people that matter most. It's to protect your family that matters most. Why do you go and work? You do it to protect your core group.
Yes.
And that's ultimately what we're building.
Let's talk a little bit about leadership within that and how you as the CEO and founder are pushing the envelope of vision, right?
Yeah.
And then also for those that are out there, this is called the Founder's Odyssey, right?
Yeah.
So a lot of founders want to listen into this because they want to understand the mind of a founder and what it really takes to set that vision and set the stage, in essence, and what you just said, because you now have outlined a futuristic vision as to how your company and you are moving into that future, right?
Yeah.
So let's talk about how you set the stage for your company as an organization and how you're able to empower those that are working with you to accomplish that vision.
Definitely. So I think the first thing, and one of the most important things, is to set that vision. What are we here for? What are we doing in this company? What is the main purpose of this company? What are we trying to do? That's the first thing. The second thing is figuring out what your core values are. What are the things that you're going to live to in that company? So now we know what the target is. Here's our target. What are the things that we're going to implement as a team to reach that target? There's things like be scrappy or constantly learning. I'm not saying those are our things, but you're implementing your core values that should become your culture. Core values are not culture. Culture is what actually happens in the company. Hopefully, a good company and a good leader will help his people to live those, to make those core values become culture. And so it's this building up of culture. You have that definite target, and then it's keeping your team on task. As a CEO, I feel like my most important jobs in my specific company, this isn't for all CEOs because there's many different types of CEOs, but my most important thing is to find the best people and give them the best vision and then make sure that there's enough money to support my people and that vision and that them build this vision that we have together and making sure that they're going down that path. Those are the three most important things for me: vision, people, and keeping the company fully capitalized. I think some people forget that third part. They have the vision and they get some people and they forget that, hey, you got to keep everything going. You got to make sure that if there's a lacking in finances, you better go darn raise some money.
And I say it's a T3 for me. It's a time, right? So time and how you're going to step into the vision of the time, the treasure, and team, right? So a T3 time to, you know, time
like
to treasure.
That. You know, I like
super
that.
Simple.
Yeah, definitely. And there's one thing I wanted to mention before in the previous questions that helped me get through some of the difficult times. The concept of extreme ownership. And the concept of extreme ownership is everything, all outcomes are a direct result of the things that you did or did not do. And so just taking on ownership of every single thing in your life, whether it's a relationship, whether it's the success of your company, whether it's the how well you did with the weight loss journey, instead of saying, oh, there's these outside things. So I'll give you a good example. Instead of saying, hey, in 2007, 2008, the market crashed and oh, woe is me, I lost my business because of that. A better way is to look inwardly and say, hey, what did I do when the market crashed? How did I make the changes in my life and realize that it was my decisions that made it so that my company crashed, not because of the market.
And I think it's important to recognize that too. And as we start to go through, like I said, highlights and also low points in our world as entrepreneurs, it's understanding, you know, who you're becoming, what your actions were during that time of a lull per se, right? Of maybe not producing as well as you think you are, or you could or can. But it's really just how you're gonna how you shift and pivot and. I really like that, redefining yourself for situations that, you know, you want to step into. So we've got Heroic here. Currently, how is the organizational structure? And then also, what does your day-to-day look like as the CEO?
Yeah, so we have offices. We have multiple offices here in the U.S. We have another physical office in India. We have employees all throughout the U.S. and in India and the Philippines. And so we are both onshore and offshore.
Offshore.
Yeah, whatever the special term is today for it. And what we do like I said, we have two sides of the business. We have the enterprise services side and the software side. The software side can all be done remote. We're a remote first company. What that means is, the majority of our employees work from home or wherever they want to work. And then about a third of our employees work on site in our facilities. And that may change. I'm not saying we're always going to be a remote first company, but today we are a remote first company. And if our employees can work from home, they usually do. Now we have some clients that are healthcare firms, hospitals. Our largest clients are hospitals. And so we have them on site, but, we have on the executive structure, we have CEO, COO, Director of Operations, and we kind of go down from there. So a traditional management structure. In our facilities, we have people that are in charge of the people in those facilities. So I would say we have a very conventional structure for our employees, but we're spread out all over the country, all over the world, not just Philippines and India, but we have people all over.
Question about, you know, where you're going and what excites you, right? Because now let's talk a little bit about the future.
Yes.
And let me just pause for a second because I love the name of your brand here, because Terminator immediately comes to mind because I'm like, okay, Heroic. And then they're just, it's endless amount of creativity when I start to think about it. It's actually a cybersecurity company. So
yeah.
Tell me a little bit more about the future and what you're excited about.
Oh man, I love talking about the future. In fact, right, Heroic, usually when I say the name Heroic, I'll do the Superman pose.
Yes.
It just, in my head, it's gotten normal. If you look at our logo, it's an H with a shield around it. And that visual of Terminator, the Terminator is coming and destroying the Earth. And the reality is we see ourselves as that company that would protect against that if that were come to pass. And we do think that there are portions of that will likely happen. The number one most, if you know, as an industry, if you're looking at podcasts and they're talking about existential threats, I think one of the largest ones that you'll always see is the threat of AI. And here's the reason why it's a threat. It's because we don't know what would happen if AI and AI became self-aware. We just don't know. The pace that a self-aware AI can learn and grow is so much greater than we could ever understand that we have no understanding of what would happen. And so the challenge is what do you do to protect against this threat that we don't fully understand? And that's what we're working to build, is a framework to be able to, number one, understand what that threat is and potentially protect against it, not potentially, protect against a threat that may not be known today. Here's the crazy thing. AI as an industry has been here for over 80 years. The industry of artificial intelligence for over 80 years. And there's been these peaks and valleys. And right now we're at a very large peak, and there'll be another valley and there'll be another peak, just like crypto, just like stocks, just like anything else. Mm-hmm. There's peaks and valleys, and we are at a very high peak. Whereas advanced as we've ever been in the industry, but we still got a long ways to go. And so for Heroic, it's building that framework. We've got a new product that's coming out in the coming, I'd like to say weeks, but within the next quarter, that is that base framework for this. And it's specifically for families and individuals to protect against their threats. So we have this platform that allows you to connect with your devices, your cell phone, your laptop, your desktop, your cloud services. And then based on those connections, we can see the way a user interacts with their technology and build a baseline to be able to say, hey, if something goes outside of this, we know it's a likely threat. So I'll give you a good example, right? If you use your cell phone and you use your laptop and on a consistent basis, you work from 8 a.m. to 7:30 p.m. and you're here in Utah, and then all of a sudden this is probably the most basic type of threat, but somebody in Mexico logs in at 12:39, it's likely that's a threat, and we can see stuff like that. Now, if you get, once we start seeing the data and the way you interact with your technology, we can get very specific. So it's like, hey, somebody at 7:39 logged in from Heber, Utah, where we can protect stuff like that, and even getting more granular into it. So that's what we're building. Where do I see Heroic? I see Heroic as one of the leaders in the cybersecurity space. I feel like I am achieving about 1/1000th of my capacity right now. I see Heroic as one of Utah's next unicorns. And that gets thrown out a lot, and every entrepreneur should feel like their company is going to be successful or that successful. Not all companies can be in a worth something with a B behind it, but ultimately our trajectory is a
billion-dollar company,
multi-billion-dollar company.
Yeah,
it's where
the market's
going.
There.
It's the market's insane. It's huge. The market's in the hundreds of billions, and just continues to grow. At one of the largest compounding annual growth rates every single year. The multiples on the market is insane because the need is so there. The reason why the market just continues to grow is because the threats continue to grow. The sophistication of threats continue to grow. The importance of protection of these systems continue to grow. And yeah, Heroic is, count us in one of the next five unicorns for Utah.
Well, I'm excited and excited here to help you with that, you know, as we continue to move forward. And the last question here is if there's any last words of wisdom for entrepreneurs out there that are, you know, maybe they're already in, you know, they're in the process of now building that company. Explain to me or then them as well, just how do you continue that momentum? How do you continue, you know, wanting to build, right? Because sometimes it can be monotonous throughout the process. So let's inspire those out there right now with maybe some words of wisdom on how you continue to move forward.
Yeah, number one most important thing is your team. More than money, more than vision, more than culture and values is, well, I mean, that's part of it, but your team is the most important. Not only your team at home, but your team at in the business. And so make sure you're surrounding yourself with the right people. Make sure you're getting really good people to be a part of your team. Because if you get the wrong people, they're going to take you down the wrong path. They're going to waste a lot of time, a lot of money, a lot of effort. And so you've got to find the people that you feel are best for you and what you're doing. That's the first thing. It's the most important thing. You get your team wrong, I don't care how smart you are or how good your vision is or how much money you have, you're going to fail. So team number one. Number two is keeping yourself healthy. It was a lot easier when I was in my 20s and 30s to keep myself healthy, both physically and mentally. When I hit around 38, it got super difficult. Now, we were coming off a really large downturn and a very large roadblock in my success as a business owner. But at the same time, it was, you know, my health was declining. My mental health went to the lowest it's ever gotten. I used to always be that person that people would say, hey, I'm depressed. I'd be like, well, just
suck it up,
pull yourself out of it, go and work. And because that's all I knew, I didn't know any better. And then I got into a position where I just couldn't suck it up. I couldn't pull myself up from the bootstraps. I couldn't just get over it. And so I learned that, I learned what it is really like to go through some very dark times. And, it was again, the people around me that were able to help pull me out. In addition to figuring out what the real problems were and solving those problems with certain medications and things like that. And so mental health, make sure you're keeping your mental health at a good point, working out, eating healthy, whatever you need to do to keep your mental state at a good spot, you've got to do it. It is so important. Especially as you get older, because there's a point where it's just not easy anymore, or it becomes real work to keep your mental state at a high level. There, it got to the point for me where I felt like I may not be able to be a CEO anymore. I was like, I don't think I can do this anymore. I don't think I can run a company with the state that I was in. Thankfully, I feel like I'm fully out of it. I feel like I'm more motivated and at a level mentally that I've ever been in my life. But there was definitely a point where I was just like, I don't think I can do this. I don't think I should do this for my team. But thankfully I was able to get out of it. Kudos to family and friends and those random text messages. They probably won't see this, but for those people that do send those random text messages, it makes a world of difference when you're in a very dark hole.
Yeah, I was gonna say, and you know, for everyone out there that's listening to this, I think it's important for you to be intentional about your relationships, and don't just count it as, oh, I'll see them tomorrow. I'll see them next week, maybe at another event, some other time. It's truly about, hey, listen, if you feel as if that's somebody that you would like to welcome into your network, go after it. You know, for you, for example, I messaged you multiple times. I said, hey, let's do this. Let's make sure that we make it a point to develop a stronger relationship. I don't know where that'll go, but right, it's about that intentionality of how we cater and how we provide value for people in our network as well as receive. And, you know, I think many people lead at sometimes they'll want more than they'll give, right? But, you know, and sometimes you don't have a lot to give, which is completely fine. And it's okay to open up to other people and ask them, or, you know, like you were saying, at your lowest point, you are open and welcoming, of course, people to help you, and typically within business. And that can be difficult. You know, that can be a difficult hurdle to hurdle. But anyway, well, thank you so much, Chad, for taking a little bit of time out of your day to join us on the Founders Odyssey podcast. And for those of you who have liked this episode, feel free to share this with your friends as well as subscribe. We are on all major platforms, Spotify, Apple, and we also are at thefoundersodyssey.com. Once again, thank you.
Thank you.
And we will see you guys next time.